happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. Today, a special, in-depth, original investigative report. This one is entitled Wikipedia, Friend or Fraud? The author of this report is citizen journalist Helen Beniski. Helen is a person who is deeply concerned about social justice issues. As a feminist, as a journalist, having attended the New School and graduated from New York University in journalism, she began to look for issues that were important to be addressed, that the mainstream media was either addressing but not in an objective and honest manner. Helen heard about the Wikipedia reports that Richard Gale and myself were producing, not just because of the 10-year ongoing attack on my own reputation by a Stephen Barrett, a person who has been completely challenged on any credibility when it comes to alternative health, and that's his area of expertise where he targets them, though he has no expertise in the field. And she wanted to know whether or not this was true. Helen is sitting with me in the studio in New York City. After her report, which I'm going to read to you, I will then ask her some specific questions, and she'll give us her perspective on doing this deep research. And then, I don't know how much time we'll have, we'll go to the health and nutrition after that, and also we have a different perspective on the death of Senator John McCain. He has been lauded and applauded for being this great stakes person. We're not so confident in all of these accolades, but ours is based upon historical fact. But again, because of the length of this report, and it's adding, I think this is number 8 or 9, and there's going to be another 40 in our series. And why? Because hundreds of millions of people get the information they need from Wikipedia. In many cases, that information is accurate and objective, in which case it serves a noble purpose. But when it comes to certain topics, both in politics and in health and healing and alternative medicines, everything from chiropractic to acupuncture, from traditional herbs to chelation therapy, everything on Wikipedia is wrong. The people claiming to be experts are not educated in the field. They have never had clinical experience. They have done no laboratory research. They've done no actual clinical studies. Without degrees or experience, then all they're giving us is an extraordinarily biased and inaccurate opinion. The trouble is, if you have someone from the New York Times giving misinformation on a regular basis, there should be something in place, people who would be able to judge the accuracy and objectivity of that information, decide whether or not it should go forward or not. But that's not always the case. Remember Judith Miller, the woman who single-handedly was the most important journalist in the United States, if not the world, to get us into the weapons of mass destruction of Saddam Hussein lie. And because of her, and because of the New York Times, and because of lies by Colin Powell and others in Washington, D.C., over 1 million people have died, and millions more made homeless. Not a single person has been held accountable or responsible for that. That is something I'm concerned about. I've been in the health field for a long time. I have my degrees. I have everything from registered dietitian to a clinical board-certified nutritionist to a PhD in human nutrition and public health science, the first in American history, and by the way, the only one thus far, the only multidisciplinary degree from a major university, and was the only student before or since in the history of the university to be given outstanding acknowledgement for outstanding achievement in my academic pursuits. Research fellow at the Institute of Biology, and most importantly, conducting one-on-one counseling with people and doing clinical studies that results were published in important journals and presented to thousands of scientists. So who do you imagine the people rely upon for their information? Someone like myself or someone who's never used clinical nutrition in any way, is against supplements, doesn't believe in body-mind, energy medicine, who has no degrees, no certifications, has no background, but has a very strong biased opinion? Well, you guessed it. On Wikipedia, it's that biased, completely subjective opinion that wins the day. Is that right? Should that be tolerated? My concern is that in a nation that holds its journalists to such high standards, I have seen nothing but the lowest standards of the New York Times and CNN and NBC, ABC, Fox News. All of them, the entire journalistic community has evidently chosen to lay hands off of Wikipedia, even to defend it. That is reprehensible in the extreme. So that's why Helen decided to do this particular article. This article, with all of its scientific references, which has been fully vetted for accuracy and fully vetted legally, will be posted today on PRN website, Progressive Radio Network webmaster. Wikipedia. This is in Helen's own words. For some time, I had heard rumors that Wikipedia was not an open-source knowledge utopia it claimed to be. Despite a comprehensive set of rules replete with checks and balances and a seemingly open democratic editing process, stories of pay-to-play editing, character assassinations, ideological-driven trolling, and other offenses against public knowledge suggested all was not right in Jimmy Wall's empire. Authors and public figures in fields as diverse as complementary and alternative medicine and progressive politics, including Deepak Chopra, Rupert Sheldrake, Gary Null, John Pilger, and George Galloway, have complained of persistent negative coverage on Wikipedia despite the site's vaunted neutrality and the promise that biographies of living persons are held to the highest standard. Efforts to have misinformation corrected were fruitless, and their reputations have suffered as a result. This seemed implausible. How could a site with over 100,000 volunteer editors, with open access for anyone looking to get involved, be engaged in such widespread bias? As an investigative journalist and social activist who has spent many years seeking the truth in a landscape of obfuscation and lies, I decided to find out exactly what was going on at Wikipedia. First, Wikipedia no longer has over 100,000 editors. The number of active editors has been declining for over a decade. Even as few new editors join the site, more are leaving. MIT researchers found the, quote, complex bureaucracy, end quote, and, quote, hardline responses to newcomers' mistakes, end quote, were the primary reason why would-be editors opted not to stick around. Meanwhile, the site's core of active editors decreased from 2007 to 2019 by 40%, dropping to about 30,000. In 2017, Purdue University reported that just 1% of those editors had made 77% of the total edits. The rate of changes rejected climbed from 6% in 2006 to 25% in 2010. And the site bans 1,000 IP addresses a day. Edit wars are resolved by silencing them. Editors who hang on long enough to become administrators capable of freezing and deleting entries no longer feel compelled to abide by Wikipedia's rules. And statistics show that the number of editors approved to become administrators has plummeted since 2007. Wikipedia is an oligarchy, with all the problems that entails. One set of rules exists for the user citizen, and the one for the ruling class of administrators and senior editors. Wikipedia has a convoluted and lengthy policy on conflicts of interest, a policy that seems to lengthen whenever another pay-to-play edit scandal breaks. And there have been a lot of these scandals. Disclosing one's conflict of interest is not even mandatory, but a, quote, generally accepted standard that editors should attempt to follow. The unwritten law seems to be that paid editors should only engage in conflict of interest work if they can do it without getting caught and embarrassing the site. If you can't obey the rules, at least break them quietly. Many paid editors do opt to follow the policy, disclosing their conflicts of interest and liaisoning with third-party editors to modify their clients' entries, but many more slip through the editorial process unnoticed. In 2013, a British Petroleum, BP, representative was found to be supplying Wikipedia editors with company-approved propaganda text that eventually comprised 44% of British Petroleum's entire page. The editing took place while a civil trial was underway, which could have resulted in BP paying out billions of dollars to victims of the 2010 Deepwater Horizon oil spill. The process itself, public relations flax, supplying biased information to an unaffected editor who then inserts it without disclosing its origins, unfortunately is common on Wikipedia and does not exactly violate the rules, as British Petroleum was quick to point out. Indeed, multiple editors on Wikipedia jumped to the defense of the editor working for British Petroleum, suggesting they were also being paid or merely wanting to keep their options open. Roger Bankin, a trustee of the Wikipedia Foundation, United Kingdom, and a public relations consultant, used his wiki position to place his PR client, the country of Gibraltar, on Wikipedia's Do You Know front page, featuring 17 times they were promoted during August of 2012. As a Wikipedian in residence, Bankin was not permitted to operate with a conflict of interest or to edit the pages of the organization he worked with, but nothing in the rules prevented him from promoting that page. Wikipedia co-founder Jimmy Wales called Bankin's behavior, quote, wildly inappropriate, and denounced it in a double-speaking editorial. Basically, he told the future emulators to be more circumspect in your behavior because, quote, disaster for our reputation, end quote, his words, not mine, would be immense if it got out that Wikipedia editors were, quote, paid shills instead of, quote, free and independent scribes. Wells understands the importance of one's online reputation, which makes it even more unconscionable that his site has been weaponized to destroy the reputations of decent, legitimate, honorable human beings. During the time Bankin was kept there and being encouraged to resign, another Wikipedian in residence, Max Klein, was discovered to be selling, quote, Wikipedia editing as a public relations service, end quote, on his website. The website boasting that he had, quote, the expertise needed to navigate the complex maze surrounding conflict of interest editing on Wikipedia, end quote. In October 2013, editors found hundreds of sock puppets linked to just one company, WikiPR, which claimed to employ not only garden variety editors, but an administration capable of freezing and deleting pages. WikiPR claimed over 12,000 clients, including Viacom, Priceline, to minor firms whose pages were frequently deleted for not meeting Wikipedia's notability standards. Wikimedia UK only won its nonprofit status in 2011, and the Bamkin scandal drew intense criticism from the sector. Nonprofit Quarterly took him to task for violating the foundation's tenets, noting that Gibraltarpedia was the second major scandal in the UK's foundation's year as a nonprofit. Trustee Chairman Ashley Van Haften resigned the previous month when he was banned for life from editing Wikipedia, having clashed with several editors over the hosting of explicit images on the site. The American arm of the Wikipedia Foundation has been involved in even more questionable behavior. Wikimedia Project Director Sarah Sturch was fired in January 2014 after a screenshot emerged as proof she was selling her services as an editor. Amidst the fallout from the WikiPR scandal and Sturch's firing, it was decreed that all Wikipedia editors must disclose their status. However, without a way to enforce such an edict, the measure was ultimately futile. Charitable organizations like Wikimedia are barred. Listen carefully what I'm going to say. Very important that all the lawyers, class action lawyers in the audience, investigative journalists, listen carefully to what is going to be said. Charitable organizations like Wikipedia are barred from operating for the benefit of private interest, quote, end quote, with no part of a group's net earnings accruing, quote, to the benefit of any private shareholder or individual, end quote. Yet Jimmy Wales was so fond of his Wikipedia credit card, he was relieved of it in 2006 after it was revealed that he was billing $1,300 steak dinners and other outside expenses to the so-called charity. Wales, like some of his editors, takes Wikipedia's rules as mere suggestions. From minor tweaks to entries belonging to his famous friends, 15 or more extensive reputational rehabs for a girlfriend, to wholesale rewriting of his own history, he has earned the, quote, God King, end quote, nickname bestowed upon him by his adoring public. Openly disregarding Wikipedia's laws while enforcing them on everyone else, Wells has made Wikipedia a microcosm of the society that birthed it. Is it any wonder that the same injustices so rife in America today are playing out on our computer screens as well, that the wealthy and well-connected are subject to different rules than the rest of us? The United States government has been meddling in Wikipedia since at least 2007. When a tracing program developed at the Santa Fe Institute called WikiScanner discovered, listen carefully, the computers at CIA headquarters had been used to make edits to entries on the U.S. invasion of Iraq, and the biographies of former CIA head William Colby and former Presidents Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon. An FBI computer had also been used to edit the entry on the U.S.'s Guantanamo Bay detention facility. Voting machine manufacturer Diebold was caught deleting 15 paragraphs critical to its products. And Vatican did 19 edits, and British Labour Party were also prolific editors. Since then, the intelligence agencies have had to camouflage their edits or outsource them to third parties. Unfortunately, the demise of WikiScanner in 2016 left a hole in Wikipedia accountability that just has yet to be filled. Now we get to something that I find personally interesting. Big Pharma's fingerprints are all over Wikipedia. Editors linked to AstraZeneca were caught posting negative material to competitors' pages and adding promotional material to their own. WikiScanner caught Abbott Laboratory removing information from its entry about possible side effects of two of its most popular drugs, a weight loss drug, Meridia, and the arthritis pill, Humira. An analysis of the entry from for Purdue Pharmaceutical showed that it had been through several editing cycles in which information on the addictive potential of the country's famous opiate, OxyContin, was added, then removed, then added again, though any editors working for Purdue seemed to have slunk away in the aftermath of their employer settlement with the state of Kentucky for $24 million in damages from widespread OxyContin abuse in the state. The New York Police Department was caught whitewashing dozens of Wikipedia entries in March 2015 when Wikistaner Technology linked hundreds of edits to computers at New York Police Department headquarters. Most of the edits sought to downplay crimes committed by the department officers and cast the victims of such as more threatening or criminal than they actually were. An entry on the death of Eric Gardner, the Staten Island gentleman whose choking death at the hands of Officer Daniel Pantaleo helped launch the Black Lives Matter movement, was altered to make Gardner appear much more threatening than he was, while the chokehold which killed Gardner was reduced to, quote, a headlock. Another user attempted to delete the entry on Sean Bell, who had been gunned down by police as he left his bachelor party with two friends. The officers fired over 50 bullets at the three men, and even then-Commissioner Ray Kelly, who's never heard of excessive force, condemned the incident. NYPD editors got busy with the NYPD entry itself, deleting large chunks of the police misconduct and scandals and corruption sections, and the entry on stop and frisk was larded with all forms of positive language. Former Novell computer scientist Jeff Mercury claimed Wells personally offered to, quote, you, end quote, quote, and end quote, use his influence, that's Jimmy Wells, to ensure Mercury's Wikipedia article, quote, adhere to Wikipedia's stated policies with regard to Intel or Internet libel, end quote, in exchange for a, quote, substantial donation, end quote, to the Wikipedia Foundation in 2006. Mercury's article included the gritty details of multiple lawsuits in which he was involved, including one from his former employer. After Mercury donated $5,000, his page edit history showed the entry was blanked and restarted by Wales, who warned other editors to, quote, exert to extra careful here, to be courteous and assume good faith, end quote. This is after they received $5,000. The entry also gained, quote, protected status. Who knew there was a protected status, meaning only administrators could make edits? Wells denied the allegation, stating he would, quote, never offer nor accept any offer whereby a donation would buy someone special editorial treatment in the encyclopedia, end quote. Really? Jimmy? Mercury claimed he was banned by Wikipedia Arbitration Committee after he ceased contributions to the Wikipedia Foundation. He returned briefly under other usernames, but was banned every time, while his page was eventually deleted. If Wells is offering naked pay-to-play editing, the list of benefactors to the Wikipedia Foundation takes on a much more sinister significance. Are companies like Boeing, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, ExxonMobil, General Electric, Pfizer, British Myers Squibb, and GlaxoSmithKline, who make vaccines, who have paid out billions of dollars collectively in lawsuits, are they giving money out of a charitable impulse? Or because they get something in return? That's an important question to ask. The future foundation's legitimacy and legality rests on that. The first major pay-to-play Wikipedia scandal dates back to February 2006, when it was discovered that U.S. congressional staff was scrubbing the biographies of their politicians, removing broken promises during the campaign, removing scandals and other undesirable details, and adding glowing tributes and favorable information about these politicians. At the same time, negative information was appended to the biographies of their opponents. Some ambitious staffers were replacing their candidates' biographies wholesale with staff-authored, ghost-written versions. Let me see. Any of these names sound familiar? Joe Biden, Dianne Feinstein, Norm Coleman, Conrad Burns, and Tom Harkin were named in early reports, later joined by Mike Pence and David Davis. Wikipedia responded initially by banning congressional IP addresses and later by creating a Twitter feed to document Wikipedia edits made by congressional staffers. Wikipedia's initial heavy-handed reaction to the congressional edits may have stemmed from the IRS's rules, and again, listen carefully, the IRS has very specific rules. They are inalterable. They bar 100% nonprofit foundations from, quote, voter education activities with evidence of bias that A, would favor one candidate over another, and B, oppose candidate in some manner, or C, have the effect of favoring a candidate or group of candidates, end quote. Okay, we have a lot of lawyers listening. We have a lot of class action lawyers listening. We have a lot of citizen journalists listening. I don't think we have any mainstream journalists listening, but you can get in this information. Look at what we've uncovered thus far. Shouldn't these represent a congressional investigation, state attorney general's investigation, every member of Congress investigation? Just suggesting. Wikipedia does not always toe the line in its political coverage. Example, the article on Donald Trump gives ample space to the discussion of, quote, Russiagate investigation and even, quote, impeachment efforts, end quote, though no impeachment proceedings have passed preliminary hearings. Now, the Hillary Clinton article glosses over most of the controversies that dogged her political career, offering a very sanitized account of the, quote, email controversy, while entirely omitting the revelations from the WikiLeaks and Julian Assange DNA document dump. Quote, some commentators, end quote, are given space to air their speculation on how Trump might be impeached without a vote, yet no voices are quoted taking Clinton to task for her role in rigging the Democratic primary against Bernie Sanders, which is historical fact. Nor do we find references to her role in plunging the once progressive nation of Libya into violent chaos, or in appropriating billions of dollars worth of donations meant for Haitian hurricane victims. And just as my own personal aside, I received a little press notice that was sent to all the working press in New York that there will be a demonstration in front of the Clinton, Bill Clinton's office in Harlem by people from Haiti and activists coming up from Haiti asking why did no money go to the Haitian population when it all went to the Clinton Foundation. I went up. I spoke. I was there to support them. They had lots of articles and documentation. Guess who was not there? Not a single member of the UN, even though it was the UN who was responsible for causing the largest epidemic of cholera in Haiti's history and then denying it for years, and no member of the media was there, not even from BAI. So, is there anything about the Clintons involved in all the money they took through their foundation on Haiti? Nothing. As an aside, this is not Helling talking now, this is Gary Null, my own opinion. I have done multiple broadcasts showing reporters who were in Libya, in Syria, telling us the truth about what it was like. We have done over 1,000 hours, Richard Gale and myself, of original scholarship. We want to know what was Libya like prior to its invasion. Did it represent a threat to the United States or any other country? And we found just the opposite, that Libya And this would have been known to Hillary Clinton, to it would have been known to the President Obama, to Susan Rice, to all of the people in the National Security Agency, to the CIA. Everyone in official position to the State Department would have known this. It was not hard to find. The Gaddafi had already stepped down from power years before. He wasn't running the country. That women in Libya had more rights, more freedom than any other Muslim country in the world. They had the longest lifespans, the greatest education, 84% literacy rate. That's higher than the United States or Great Britain or Germany. They had the highest income per person in Africa, 54 countries. They had one of the best educational systems and certainly the greatest medical system, all free, of any country in Africa. They had the largest irrigation project in the world ever. They represented nothing more than a threat to the financial interest who did not want to see the country gold go to the gold denier in all of its currencies with other African and African League nation countries, so therefore they wouldn't be using the dollar. That's what the threat was in Africa. Nothing else. There was no crime. It was the Paris of Africa. People all over the world would go to Tripoli because of its beauty, its history, its architecture, and the unique wonderment of its people, loving, diverse education, diverse religious beliefs. All religions were tolerated. What was not tolerated was terrorism. Now, is there a single word, one word, in any American paper, anyone on those and CNN or anyone else condemning genocide and bringing back slavery to Libya today because it has the greatest amount of slaves being sold in the open markets and today in Libya than any other place in the world? I would assume that if you're for women and for children, if you're against slavery and you're for freedom, that this would be some concern, but evidently not on the left and not in Washington and not with any of the swamp monsters. They just accept that. Now, back to Helen. So Trump, but it's not on Wikipedia. So Trump is taken to task for, quote, comments and actions that have been perceived as racially charged. Fair enough. But where's the citation? But Clinton's racially charged, quote, super predators, end quote, comment is missing from her page. There's clearly a double standard at work. An October 2016 article on Wikipedia's role in that year's election might point the answer to Clinton's page as, quote, protected, end quote. I repeat, Hillary Clinton's page was, quote, protected, while Trump's was not. Trump's page was edited more than three times as often as Clinton's during the campaign season. Now, mind you, as an aside, this is irrelevant to one issue. Whether you're for or against Clinton and independent and couldn't care about it either, if you're like myself and voted for Jill Stein and support of progressive causes, that's irrelevant to the issue. If you have one standard of being objective when challenging people, it should apply to all people. Not one against the other, irrespective of what you personally feel about one against the other. Now, when Google search results return, quote, Nazism, end quote, as the ideology of the California Republican Party just a week before the state's primaries, Google was quick to blame Wikipedia vandalism, explaining that the Google, quote, knowledge box, end quote, that contained the offending term is often populated with Wikipedia text. The, quote, vandalism, end quote, had remained on the party's Wikipedia page for 6 days before it was corrected. Hidden in a, quote, piped link, end quote, were the link text and the alt text read differently. Meanwhile, other edits were reverted within a few minutes, suggesting this one was allowed to persist deliberately with malice aforethought, hidden so that it would only appear in Google search results. Therefore, using this information to condemn one group and protecting another. Does that stand in violation of malice aforethought? Such apparent political bias makes no sense in light of the fact that the Wikipedia Foundation contracted a Manichaean group run by, can you believe this, Clinton Foundation Chief Communication Officer Greg Minison. And what is he supposed to do? The Clinton Foundation Chief Communication Officer was then hired to train Wikipedia's own C-level employees, directors, and managers in media strategy for the year 2014-15. And Manichaean was further tasked with conducting a, quote, communications audit, end quote, in 2016. Some editors among Wikipedia rank and file were unhappy about having their territory politicized, particularly given how much of the foundation's money was going to Manichaean. Sashi Manik claims it was precisely this Clinton Foundation hire that kept the foundation's page clean throughout election season of any references to its crimes against the people of Haiti and Libya, and the Hillary Clinton personally promoting the coup in Honduras, undermining democracy in Venezuela, leading to dire poverty and mass exodus, undermining democracy in Ukraine with supporting fascists and neo-Nazis, and the regime change in Syria, all of which were realities completely proven. And yet all this was during this period, and supposedly this was all to make sure it didn't get out. Going further, it appears that Manichaean was sent in to lay the groundwork for the post-election focus on the Russiagate conspiracy. The account Sage Kandor, end quote, appeared days after the election and commenced a frenzy of edits on matters related to Clinton's 2016 election talking points, from, quote, Russia interference in the 2016 election, end quote, to, quote, murder of Seth Rich, end quote, quote, Comey memos, end quote, compromat, end quote, and efforts to impeach Donald Trump, unquote. The new account also created dozens of book reviews, books critical of Donald Trump, and books written by CNN commentator and noted fabulist Malcolm Nance, whose own biography was cleaned up to remove some of his more egregious falsehoods. The account nominated many of his own book reviews for placement in the coveted, quote, Did You Know? Module on Wikipedia front page. Now again, let us remember, you can be totally against Donald Trump, and rightly so, as I am. And you can be for Hillary Clinton, as many of you might be, and rightly so. That's not the issue. The issue is that it looks like that this was all being set up and using what is not allowed by the IRS's own legal standings for to use a foundation to attack one person and protect another. And remember, Sage Kandor was eventually revealed to be a, quote, sock puppet, or what is called a CERT, C-I-R-T, an administration who had been banned under multiple usernames or for conflicts of interest and hostile behavior towards other editors. Now, continuing that pattern, Sage Kandor participated in no fewer than 19 disciplinary actions over 3 months, seemingly colluding with a power administration to get cases against it closed speedily. In June of 2017, rather than being banned like its predecessor, Sage Kandor was given auto-patrolling and page-moving powers, allowing it to edit protected entries like Russiagate material without someone else signing off on the edits. That's protecting a sock puppet. By what standard, by what measure of integrity, of openness, of transparency, Jimmy Wells, would you allow such a travesty of justice to occur on your website? But it did. It's there. We uncovered it. You didn't. Some administrations are open about their political beliefs on their profile pages, like Bull Rangifer, a quote, so-called skeptic, the ones who pride themselves on being experts on everything they've never studied, have never practiced, have no intimate knowledge of, yet are clearly there to make sure the world never learns about acupuncture, chiropractic, homeopathy, vitamins, minerals, holistic medicine, holistic dentistry, holistic nurses, massage, body, mind, energy. They have no knowledge of this, except their opinion is supposed to weigh heavier, and on Wikipedia does so. And so here's this Bull Rangifer, who writes that anyone who does not believe that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia to win the 2016 election, quote, lacks a competence needed to edit American political subjects, end quote, because they are victims of, quote, fake news, end quote. The, quote, fake news, end quote, link, of course, points to a Wikipedia page authored in part by the administrator who wrote the original paragraph. Isn't that circular logic? And does that not seem to bother this skeptic? Jimmy Wales' newfound concern about fake news, which became the bedonore of the Western media establishment during the 2016 election, also makes much more sense in light of the Minasian connection. Let me spell this. Minasian. For you citizen journalists, for your lawyers for large class action law firms, why don't you do some homework now, all right, and see if there is a connection. The same Wikipedia editor who wrote so much on, quote, Russia interference in the 2016 election, end quote, also made 904 edits to, quote, fake news websites, end quote, as the election flipped towards Trump. Another Winnesian operative was dispatched to Vice in the guise of a Wikipedia editor to give a chummy interview about how the site handles, quote, fake news. In my opinion, the predominance of election-related edits were coordinated with a consultancy hired by the Wikimedia Foundation. If this is the case, such collusion should rule out nonprofit status for Wikipedia, which means that they would be besieged by the largest number of lawsuits in American history, dwarfing those against all pharmaceutical companies and all of Wall Street banks combined. And then there's no more hiding as sock puppets. There's no more hiding behind the throne of Jimmy Wales. There's no more hiding through the arrogance and hubris and narcissism of those who hold power over others. And so you're paying the pros via crowdfunding campaign while tasking the volunteers with fact-checking and editing the articles? Now, I have my own question here. I'm not speaking on behalf of Helen. I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I've authored over 800 articles. I've never had to correct a sentence. It goes back to something that I learned long ago when I was going to do my first major article against the cancer industry. And it was the first investigative reporting article. Robert Houston, one of America's finest investigative journalists, who's the brother of Gene Houston, one of the great great second generation of the feminist, a spiritual feminist. And once we found the facts, and once we had our whistleblower was Pat Regrainey Sr., who had been the head of the American Cancer Society's public relations division for decades, the publisher said, we're afraid that you're going to get us sued. So we've hired this Harvard lawyer, Harvard Law Review, and they're going to work full-time with you, and you're not going to allow to publish a single line that is not proven factual, because truth is its own defense. And so every day when I was doing my work over a four-month period, and Robert, everything had to be vetted. And as a result, I ended up doing not just that story. That was carried by 60 Minutes and a special piece on Lawrence Burton, and later two Emmys for a piece on Stanislaw Brzezinski on 60 Minutes, vis-a-vis Judy Moses, came to see me on that one, and Don Hewlett from 60 Minutes. So my original work has been as a high bar standard, 58 cover stories, meaning making the front cover, and never had to correct a sentence, including going after the AMA, including the chairman of the board of the AMA. Couldn't find a single sentence wrong. So what happens now when you have people who have no background in journalism, no background in scholarship, wouldn't know what source to use that's credible, and then using Wikipedia's own inaccurate sources as their proof? What would happen if they were doing something on a health issue and use one of the skeptics, one of the corporate shills out of Big Pharma? What would happen if they use one of the journals that have been shown to be substantially controlled by Big Pharma? This is a nightmare waiting to happen. We will be flooded with misinformation. Does anyone not realize how much money has been invested in time and energy by hiring doctors and scientists, by giving billions of dollars collectively to major universities so you can get the university, Harvard, Yale, Stanford, in your pocket, and get the chairmen of departments, which they frequently fund in all their research, in your pocket? So you're in effect, you're selling a pedigree. You must believe what we say because we're this, and we're from this place, and we published in this journal. Yes, and follow the money. None of it was real. None of it was legitimate. None of it was honest. It was all proprietary, capitalistic, and profit-driven research. And that's what your journalist, and that's what your volunteers are going to be using through your crowdfunding campaign. Good luck with that, Jimmy boy. Back to the article. Quote, those who donate will become supporters, who in turn will have a say in which subjects and story threads the site focuses on, and Wells intends that the community of readers will fact-check and sub-edit published articles, end quote. That's according to Guardian piece that reads like a public relations release. So let me see. If I ran a big pharmaceutical company and I wanted to promote a vaccine that had been shown to be dangerous, that was loaded with mercury and aluminum and polysorbate 90 and formaldehyde and could cause autism or other learning disabilities, and I knew that a legitimate journalist, not one of these hacks from the New York Times, would call me out on it and possibly the lawyers would go after me, I just have a lot of people spread the money as individuals, hiding where the money comes from, fronting astrogroups, what are called astroturf. And then we get them editing anything that goes wrong on our site, protecting us. What could possibly go wrong? So according to the Guardian piece, most likely because Wells sits on the board of the Guardian Media Group, did anyone know that? I don't think so. Wow. New York Times, did you guys miss that? That Jimmy Wells sits on the board of the Guardian Media Group, another conflict of interest he dislikes disclosing. Wicked Tribune takes several cues from Mencien's 2016 media audit, which recommended the company focus on positioning itself as an island of neutrality in a roiling sea of bias. But it's just the opposite. Wikipedia is a roiling sea of bias, looking for an island of neutrality. Wikipedia dissenter King's Indian points out the logical flaws in that model. Quote, would anyone accept a newsroom where anonymous contributors with undisclosed conflicts of interest argue about things where expertise is irrelevant, where contributors' work is not paid, there's no editor or copy editor, and then nobody takes responsibility for the final product, end quote. Meanwhile, Google is not the only platform that uses Wikipedia as a fact checker. Shame on you, Google. But then again, there's a lot of other reasons to shame Google, the fourth arm of government. YouTube is rolling out Wikipedia links embedded in videos that will permit viewers to fact check those videos' claims in real time, ostensibly to combat, quote, conspiracy theories and, quote, fake news. So you're going to edit off anything that challenges, oh, let's say, the Bay of Tonkin. Is that fake news? Weapons of mass destruction. Was that fake news? And the consequences? Which thing are you going to say is fake? Wikipedia has also largely supplanted the scandal-ridden Snopes that nobody should trust, in my opinion, in Facebook's fact-checking arsenal. With Facebook now assigning, quote, trust ratings, is this sounding like 1984? Is this sounding very much like Orwell? So now we have trust ratings to users based on their record of sharing approved news stories. Wikipedia's judgment is likely to become more significant in determining what users see on their news feeds. Sage Kandor's UK equivalent seems to be, quote, Philip Cross. You say, I've never heard of Philip Cross. Of course you haven't. But Wikipedian Jimmy Wells has. He ranks 308th in the list of the most active Wikipedia editors. He has spent the equivalent of full-time working hours editing Wikipedia over the past 5 years. A few of his victims include George Galloway and former ambassador Craig Murphy, both people who are outstanding in their commitment to truth and justice. But you wouldn't know that by reading Wikipedia. And they began investigating the prolific editor after they noticed him systematically terrorizing their pages. Cross's victims shared a common skepticism about the UK's foreign policy, especially with regard to Syria. And with seemingly unlimited free time to edit, Cross removed favorable information and added negative material amounting to 1,796 edits on George Galloway's page alone. Cross attacked anti-war and anti-imperialist personalities like John Pilger. Really? Just as an aside, can you find me a finer investigative journalist in the world than John Pilger? Jimmy, you're not looking then. Vanessa Beely and Jeremy Corbyn. On Twitter, at the same time he was tweaking their Wikipedia pages with lies and distortions and favorably editing the articles of conservative journalists like Luke Harding and Oliver Kam. By personally attacking his, quote, targets, end quote, targets, he embodies a, quote, conflict of interest. Murray pointed out the similarities between the views espoused by Cross and those of Wells himself, who did not take the comparison well. Quote, if your worldview is shaped by idiotic conspiracy sites, you will have a hard time grasping reality, end quote. So says Jimmy Wells, sneering after repeatedly asking for and receiving proof of Cross's malicious edits. Murray also pointed out that British intelligence has bragged about operating, quote, sock puppets to push, quote, official narrative to the media. And Cross's openly flaunts the rules seem like the behavior of someone accustomed to life above the law. On Wikipedia talk page for Galloway, he openly admitted his conflict of interest, then returned to editing Galloway's article. He was allowed to do so. Cross's behavior eventually resulted in being permanently banned from all topics related to post-1978 British politics, but with the stipulation he can appeal the ban in 6 months. And as a parting shot, the editor who initially brought Cross's misbehavior to the arbitration committee's attention was also banned from, quote, linking to or speculating about off-wiki identity of other editors, end quote. So bring the truth to wiki editors and you yourself are then censored. So Wikipedia and Jimmy doesn't seem to have any patience or desire for, well, what can we say? Whistleblowers? Oh, by the way, we got a lot of whistleblowers from Wikipedia. You'll be hearing about them in the very near future. In June of 2011, the Wikipedia Foundation actually financed a group of paid editors in Kazakhstan, providing a $16,000 grant to Roan Kenzaklian, fledging Wiki Bilmi project. Now, this Wiki Bilim began as an effort to expand the tiny Kazakh language, Wikipedia, and progress to cleaning up English language articles of high-ranking subjects, up into including the country's dictator, and his family. Good work, Wells. Didn't Jimmy Wells award that family the first ever, quote, Wikipedian of the Year award, or the person responsible for it, that same year, despite protests that he was whitewashing the reputation of a repressive dictatorship? In response, Wells denied everything, claiming, quote, Wikimedia Foundation has zero collaboration with the government of Kazakhstan, and Wikibilim is a totally independent organization, end quote. Really, Jimmy? When questioning persisted, he resorted to threats and banned the questions from his talk page. Wells' objections are disingenuous, considering that the individual is not only a former government official, but also a former employee of the government propaganda station. We found him as one of the top people at National TV Agency, run by the dictator's daughter. And yet he's your man of the year? Wikibilim is also financed by Samrock Kaizna, a state investment fund, the sovereign oil wealth fund run by the dictator's son-in-law. Also editing English language articles on the country was Portland Communications, a lobbying firm which has previously been caught editing negative material out of Wikipedia entries for its clients. And Portland is run by a former advisor to Tony Blair, Wells' friend and his wife's former employer. Yeah, Jimmy Wells' wife was one of the top people around Blair. Blair was reportedly paid $13 million for his own part in the rehabilitation of Kazakhstan's reputation. So the mere suggestion of a link between Blair's work for the Kazakh government and Wikipedia was dismissed in typical compensatory fashion by Wells, who banned such discussion from his page. Quote, my personal life has nothing to do with Kazakhstan. Now, I can see we're running out of time, and I'm not finished. So tomorrow, we'll pick it up where I left off, and you'll have a chance to meet the author of this piece, Helen. And just remember, you have a gigantic organization that has enormous power over influencing people. And what happens when what should have been a noble and good cause ends up being used as a tool to control, to manipulate, and to destroy people? That is going to be revealed in detail. And also, whistleblowers or people who would like to express confidential views to us and share information, you can go to prnstudio@gmail.com. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you for watching and listening.